Okay, so welcome back to our experience Shabbat Shir. This week, as promised, we'll be speaking about the second meal of Shabbos. Last week, we spoke about the opening meal, the Friday night meal, the first meal of Shabbos. This week, we're going to be speaking about the second meal. Now, as we'll see, at first glance, and truth be told, at the end of the day, in reality, the second meal is not nearly as exciting as both the first meal and the last meal. So it's the first meal we know, we spoke about it, we have several components to it. You have the singing, and you have the meal, and you have like the holiness of what it means to have the first meal and the opening meal of Shabbos. Shal Shudas, as we'll see, God willing, next week, there is a lot to talk about with Shal Shudas, what it is, what it represents, how do we understand its obligation, are we required to have two loaves of bread like we are for the other meals, are women equally as obligated? For some reason, people always think that it's never as major of an obligation, which we'll try to dispel that rumor next week. But there's a lot to speak about when it comes to Shal Shudas. When it comes to Shabbos lunch, there's really not much to talk about. All right, everyone knows that Shabbos lunch is Shabbos lunch. You sit down, right, usually after shul, you come home. In a normal world, after shul, we come home and we have our nice Shabbos lunch. Usually we have a nice kiddush and shul first, and there's really not much to talk about at first glance. But there are several components that are worthwhile discussing. And the truth is there are basically three major components of the meal. There is Kiddush, there is Hamotzi, and there is the actual meal part. Nothing is new here in terms of what had happened the previous night, what we spoke about last week. However, there are a few different situations that do come up for the Shabbos lunch meal that don't necessarily usually come up as frequently as the other ones. So the first topic that we will speak about is the Kiddush itself, and we'll speak about a little bit more about it in just one moment. The second aspect of that we'll be speaking about is Kiddush b'makom se'uda, right? The idea that you have to have your meal wherever you're going to be making Kiddush, and the reason why that's much more relevant for Shabbos lunch than it is for the other meals is because of the idea of having a Kiddush at night, right? Usually the only time we have Kiddushim in shul and you have a nice meal or a nice bite to eat in shul is in the afternoon, and there is a notion that you have to have a meal wherever you have Kiddush. And so we'll have to see how that plays in when it comes to Shabbos lunch. And if you heard Kiddush in Shul, do you have to make it again on Shabbos day when you come home, etc. So we'll speak a little bit about that. And then finally, we'll speak about an idea that we began building on last week, and that is that we said that the Friday night meal is a lot, is connected to Yitzchak Avinu, that it has the same ideas that apply to the Yitzchak Avinu, the person, also apply to the meal of the opening Shabbos meal, of the Friday night meal. And so too, we also alluded to the fact that both Shabbos day and Shal Shudas meals have this same idea, whereas the Shabbos day meal is connected to Avraham Avinu and Shal Shudas is connected to Yaakov. We'll try to build up a little bit more the idea of the connection between the Shabbos day meal and Avraham Avinu and why it's such an obvious connection for Avraham. Okay, so let's jump right into it. So we said that there are three parts of the meal. There's Kiddush, Hamotzi, and the meal. The one thing that's so interesting about Kiddush on Shabbos day is what it's called. You open up the average sitter and you look on the table of contents, you try to find Kiddush for Shabbos day. So usually you'll see the Friday night Kiddush, but you really usually don't see the daytime Kiddush, because usually you'll see something else. It'll say Kiddusha Rabbah. That's what Shabbos day Kiddush is called, Kiddusha Rabbah. What in the world is Kiddusha Rabbah? Why do we call our Shabbos day Kiddush Kiddusha Rabbah? So the truth is, this really begins way before the Shulchan Aruch and way before the Gemara, but we're going to begin with the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch makes the comment, talking about the daytime meal, the lunchtime meal, saying as follows: you should have your nice table set, and you should have beautiful tablecloth and a beautiful table set, and you should make a bracha on wine just like you do on Shabbos on Friday night. The Shulchan Aruch says that we call Shabbos day Kiddush Kiddusha Rabbah. What this means is, but just to put it into context, on Friday night we don't call our Kiddush anything special. It's just called Kiddush. On Shal Shudas, there actually is a machlokus if we do say Kiddush for Shal Shudas. We paskin, we don't make Kiddush. I know people who make Kiddush for Shal Shudas. I don't think you should. I don't know why. It's not what we do, but I believe the Rambam actually famously does say you should say Kiddush, but we don't say Kiddush. So we only have two times we make Kiddush on Shabbos, and Friday night is just called Kiddush, like you would expect. But for some reason, Shabbos day lunch gets this fancy name, Kiddusha Rabbah. Okay, fine. So and we know that from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says it explicitly. Where does the Shulchan Aruch get it from? Well, it's from the Gemara in Pesachim. on Kuf Vavam Amar Aleph has the following story. Bayom Mai Mevarech, on the daytime Shabbos meal, what bracha do we make? Amar Rav Yehuda, Brei Pri HaGafen, you make the Brei Pri HaGafen. As we know, you say the bracha on the wine. Rav Ashi, Ikla LeMechuza, so Rav Ashi, great rabbi Rav Ashi, went to the town of Mechuza. Amrulei Leyakdish Lan Mar Kiddush Rabba. And they said to Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi is no simple person, he's a great rabbi, and they said to him, can you please make Kiddush Rabbah on Shabbos day for us? So Havu Lei, so they brought some grape juice, they brought some wine to him, and Savar Maini Kiddush Rabbah. And Rav Ashi had the same question that we had. What in the world is Kiddush Rabbah, he thought. So Michri, so he said to himself, okay, let's see here. Kol HaBrachos Kulam Bari Pri HaGafen. All of the brachos are included in Bari Pri HaGafen. Amrei Bereisha, so let me start by saying Bari Pri HaGafen, Amar Bari Pri HaGafen, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if someone else seems to like hint to the fact that I should be making another bracha, and if I'm supposed to, then I'll do that afterwards. So he makes his Brei Pri HaGafen, Ve'agid Bei, Chazi Lehu Saba Degachen Vishasi. So he sees an elder gentleman over there, right after he makes his Brei Pri HaGafen, he sees that he's about, there's an elderly gentleman at the table that's about to take a drink of his wine. So Kari Anavshe HaChacham Einav Berosho. So he uses the Pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk that says the wise man, his eyes are in his head, meaning that he saw with his eyes, Rav Ashi saw with his eyes, that clearly Kiddush Rabbah is only the bracha of HaGafen, because he saw right after he made Kiddush, right after he just had the bracha of HaGafen, this man almost began to drink, which shows by that incident that the only obligation of Kiddush Rabbah is just to make Bari Pri HaGafen. So that's how Rav Ashi learned that Kiddush Rabbah is just simply making the bracha of Bari Pri HaGafen. So we see from here, base obligation, what is Kiddush on Shabbos day, when we go to have lunch, we want to make Kiddush, all you have to do is make Bari Pri HaGafen, which just strengthens the question. If it's just Bari Pri HaGafen, then why do we call it Kiddush Rabbah? Kiddush Rabbah means the great Kiddush. What in the world is so great about this Kiddush? It's literally just the bracha of Bari Pri HaGafen. In fact, if you want to call any Kiddush Kiddush Rabbah, the great Kiddush, you should call Friday night the Kiddush Rabbah, because Friday night is, you have all these beautiful things. You have the intro of Shalom Aleichem and the Neishas Chayil, you bless the children, and then you have this long, we have the three parts, you have Yom HaShishi and Bari Pri, etc. So why do we call Kiddush Rabbah, why do we use the term Kiddush Rabbah during the day when it really is much more fitting at night? So the Ran on that Gemara, the Ran that's usually found in the back of the Gemara, in the words of the Rif, so he says as follows. He says, Umishum delo have ela midrabbanan. He says, you have to know something first of all. The daytime Kiddush is derabbanan. It's only rabbinic obligation. Why is that? Well, the nighttime obligation, we know that there's a Torah obligation to make Kiddush because the Torah says you have to sanctify Shabbos. We spoke about that. We're not really sanctifying Shabbos, but okay, we spoke about that in the past. But you have to sanctify Shabbos, so that's why you make Kiddush on Friday night. You don't even sanctify Shabbos more than once. Once it's sanctified, it's sanctified. So he says, the rabbi said you should make Kiddush during the day, but it's not as big of a deal, clearly, therefore, as what the Torah commanded. So, lo ra'ul ha'arich bo yoter, v'kidei shelo l'hashvasu l'kiddush shalayla. And he says the rabbis didn't want to make it so long, like the evening Kiddush, because they don't want to make it seem comparable to the evening Kiddush, because it's not. V'yikaruhu kiddush rabba l'kinoi. But they decided to call it kiddush rabba, the great Kiddush, as a nickname. Why? L'fi she'eno ikar k'kiddush shalayla. Because it's so unimportant. Because it's so not the Friday night Kiddush, vizuta shiuri kida karinan lasuma saginor. It's like, you know, sometimes we say the opposite of what we mean because we want to say it in a nice way. So we have Kiddush on Shabbos day, which is less significant to Kiddush on Friday night, but we don't want to call it the lesser Kiddush. That sounds sad. So we call it the great Kiddush, knowing, wink, wink, this is not the great Kiddush. This is actually the second best Kiddush of the two Kiddushes that we have on Shabbos. The best Kiddush is Friday night. The second one is on Shabbos day. But so that's what the Ran says. We call it Kiddush Rabbah as a nice way of saying it's really not the Kiddush Rabbah. It's really not the great Kiddush. Others do disagree with the Ran. In particular, the Emes Liakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Sefer on the Parsha, writes as follows, that there was actually a time period where the name Kiddush Rabbah was more important than, that it signified that the daytime Kiddush was more important than the nighttime Kiddush. So this is what he writes as follows, V'kasvu ha-Rishonim, the great Rishonim, right? Shehu kemo saginohar, that it's like a nice language of saying, wink, wink, it's not really the best Kiddush. Aval kasha lomar sheikanu b'shem zeh l'kiddush ha-yom. So he says, it's hard to say that this
this is really why we call it this. Like, everyone's in on this big joke that it's really, that's called the Great Kiddush, but it's really not the Great Kiddush. Can't be, says Rav Kamenetsky. L'fiza esher lomar de be'emes im nomar shekidshu ha-shabbos b'chnisaso ad matan Torah bevada shayu mekajin b'boker. He says, before the Torah was given, when did daytime start? What, in people's minds, when did the day start? We know in Judaism, daytime starts Friday night. But before the Torah was given, what was people's mentality? The daytime starts when you wake up in the morning. If that's the case, Shabbos didn't start on Friday night. Shabbos started on Shabbos day. So the first meal of the day was what we now call the second meal, Shabbos lunch. And if that's the case, then that means the first Kiddush they made was at that, as at our now second meal. And that means, what else would you call this thing? It's the Kiddush HaRab. It's the Great Kiddush, because it's the opening Kiddush of Shabbos. So Sister Rav Kamenetsky, we call the second Kiddush of the day Kiddush HaRabah because of the fact that it used to be the Great Kiddush. Now it's not the Great Kiddush, it's the second Kiddush of the day. But we call it that as a remembrance of what it used to be. So that's the argument between the Ran and the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. It's a little bit of an interesting argument because the Ran is a Rishon, as we know, and Emes Liakov is more of a contemporary. So it's interesting that he's arguing on him, but it must be that he says it's okay to argue because of the fact that it's not really a matter of halacha per se, it's just a matter of how we frame this idea and the name of Kiddush itself. Okay, there's one further idea that's found in the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Asai kisei dechamra ubaruche umishte mishum kavod Shabbos lechaleg bein midas Shabbos l'midos chol. He reframes Kiddush. It's not really necessarily a commentary on the Kiddush HaRabba, on that name itself, but he reframes the daytime Kiddush. He says there is actually no obligation to make Kiddush during the day. Why would anyone make Kiddush during the day? We made Kiddush last night. How many times do you need to sanctify the day? We get it already. It's a sanctified day. So he says that the reason why we make Kiddush is not because we're making Kiddush. There is no Kiddush. It's just Bari Priya Gafen, as we explained, right? But why do people say it? Because we want to show that there is a difference between this day and every other day. And the way we do that is by making the Bari Priya Gafen Bracha, making Kiddush, quote-unquote, during the day, to show that there is more honor to this day than the other days of the week. Okay, so all of that said, some of you might be very confused, because you know that the average person knows that Shabbos Day Kiddush is not just Bari Priya Gafen. We say a lot more, usually, than Bari Priya Gafen. I have a great story. I'll tell you the great story after I tell you the following. So we know that in addition to making the Bari Priya Gafen, we also like to include lots of other paragraphs before. And some people have different customs. Some people just say the paragraph of Vishamru. Some people say the paragraph of Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos. And some people even say there's three paragraphs that you find, I think, in the average sitter. There's the first paragraph that says Im Tashiv, the next one that says Vishamru, and then the next paragraph that says Zachor. So I think that I don't want to say typical, so I don't know what people do. But the usual thing to do is to either say one, either Vishamru or Zachor, or to say both of them. But most people don't say Im Tashiv, which is interesting. So where do these paragraphs come from? So the answer is, they're really, from a halakhic perspective, there is absolutely no obligation to say these paragraphs. These paragraphs were added seemingly over the years and over the centuries to make Shabbos Day Kiddush more significant. Because it has so little of any halakhic components to it, we wanted to add a little more something to it to make it feel more significant, so we added these paragraphs. And why these specific paragraphs? Well, I think it's very simple, actually. I didn't see this anywhere, but it's just a logical idea. We know on the Friday night Kiddush, we mentioned the idea of Shamor and Zachor, right? These two, that's like how we started this whole series of talking about the two aspects of Shabbos, to remember Shabbos and to guard Shabbos. So how logical is it, therefore, that we include paragraphs that talk about Shamor and Zachor also in the daytime Kiddush, with Shamru and Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos? They talk about guarding Shabbos and remembering Shabbos. So I think those are logically very fitting. There is an idea of why do people say Im Tashiv Mishabbos Raglecha. So that talks about the sources of where Shabbos may come from, and the notion of enjoying Shabbos a little bit. And so some people do include those psukim as well, but again, I don't think most people do say those psukim, although it's a nice thing to do if you would like to. Okay, so here's my great story real quick, since we're already going to go over the 15 minutes as usual. So when I was once in yeshiva, I was once like a Shabbaton or something, and you know, when you have like a bunch of yeshiva guys together, especially when they're in the middle of their year, especially if they're in their Shana Bet, their second year in yeshiva, everyone thinks they know more Torah than like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's like the average Shana Bet guy's, the second year yeshiva guy's perspective. And so I remember I actually had learned this halacha that the only Shabbos day kiddush you have to say is just Bereit Ragafen. So I did that. At that point, I'm not so good at remembering a lot of these texts. So I didn't say kiddush by heart. I didn't know the whole Bishamru whatever by heart. So I just said Bereit Ragafen. And there was this other kid that looked at me with like this death stare. Like, what are you doing? You're like a shagitz over here. You don't know how to make kiddush. All you did was make a Bereit Ragafen. So I sat there. I made Bereit Ragafen and I had my grape juice and I think I had a piece of cake or something. And this guy like went around like so nervous. Like, oh my gosh, I have to hear kiddush again because this guy is an idiot. Anyways, so years later, I give this shir. Hopefully, he's my age, so he. I don't call him a young man, or an old man, but hopefully this guy knows the halachos now and realizes that I was right to only make the Bereit Ragafen for Kiddush. So that's the halacha, to make only Bereit Ragafen for Kiddush. And these other paragraphs were added over the years because it seems to be a nice thing to do to make Kiddush a little bit more beautiful, a little bit nicer. But it gets the name of Kiddusha Rabbah because of the fact that it's not as great of a Kiddush as the Friday night Kiddush. Okay, that was the first aspect of this year. The second aspect of this year, we'll go through this a little quicker, is Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. Right, so this is really only primarily an issue on Shabbos Day, as we spoke about, because people usually only really have Kiddushim on Shabbos Day. That happens to be that's actually not the case. It's not that we only have this issue on Shabbos Day and not really on Friday night. It happens to be that this issue would have in theory applied on Friday night as well, but because of the various halachos, as we'll briefly touch on some of them, that they could be a lot more severe because Kiddush is so much more important on Friday night. So as a result, the notion or the idea of ever having a Kiddush on Friday night was totally outlawed. Meanwhile, by the way, it probably actually makes a lot of sense to do a Kiddush on a Friday night in the winter than rather than doing it on Shabbos Day in the winter, because you have a much longer night than the day. But okay, so we have the custom not to really have Kiddushim on Friday night, but it's specifically because of the halachas of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda that would make it much more complicated. So where does Kiddush B'Makom Seuda come from? What is it? And how does it apply to our Kiddush issue nowadays? Okay, so we have an obligation to make Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, that essentially we are required to make Kiddush. This Bereit Ragafen has to be made in a place where we're going to be eating our meal. How do you define meal? So if we were not Jews, defining a meal would be very easy. A meal is a meal. That's all you're going to say. What do you mean, what's a meal? You have a meal, you have a piece of bread or something, and that's a meal. But since we are Jews, of course, defining a meal is a little bit more difficult. It's been discussed over the years about... We know at a base level from a halachic perspective on Shabbos, a meal is defined as any meal that you have, specifically over a loaf of bread, but more specifically for the Shabbos meals, over two loaves of bread. But there is a greater argument regarding other types of food. So there is an idea about maybe if you just have wine, or if you just have a nice cup of grape juice or something, so can that be considered your meal from a halachic perspective? And there are those that even take that one step further and say, well, what about a mezonos? Let's say I have like a few cookies, enough to be like considered a halachic shir, so a kezias, I have a kezias of cookies, whatever that is, two or three, I mean, probably even one cookie. You see, if you have a kezias of cookies, so is that considered a meal? So there's a great argument about this. So the Magen Avraham came out very leniently on this. He says that if someone has mezonos, then that's considered like their meal from a halachic perspective. However, many did not like this. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, and many others said this is totally ridiculous. A meal is a meal. You need bread to make that meal. So you can't count that as part of your Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. As a result of the amount of people who are anti it versus the people who are pro it, which was really, for the most part, only the Magen Avraham, who was the strong opinion that was lenient about this, as a result, the Primogodim, the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, many, many great rabbis, the list could go on, all say that due to this argument, say it's better not to ever rely on this leniency, which essentially means that the notion of making Kiddush in Shul should be totally outlawed. If someone is making Kiddush in Shul and they're not having their meal in Shul, then it's a ridiculous, it's an embarrassment, because there's no way, unless you're having a very fancy like Kiddush luncheon where you're having rolls and everything, since that's not usually the average case, one should never have any sort of Kiddush in Shul. However, we are obviously lenient on this. That's what gives us the ability in most shuls to have a Kiddush. Again, in a regular world, that gives us the ability to have a Kiddush. And the way we do Kiddush is that we have some grape juice, And we rely heavily on the Smagin Avram that says that one should be eating at least a kazayas and mazonos. What that really does mean, by the way, because people do make this mistake a lot, so now at least in this context we'll try to correct it, one should not be eating unless they're specifically going to have a kazayas of mazonos. Because if they don't, then in retrospect it'll not be Kiddush B'makom Seuda, which means that they never really technically made Kiddush, which means that they should not have been eating in the first place. So just so you know, if you're ever eating at a kiddush, you should always make sure you should have a kazayas of mazonos to make sure you fulfill this obligation. The major question, though, is the following, and that is, let's say a person was very frum, they know, they relied on this leniency, but they know they were relying on it, so they made kiddush, and they had the mazonos. Why sometimes you see people will then go home and make kiddush again? Where in the world does that come from? And so this comes from an idea built on both by Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld and by Rav Moshe Stromach, who say that the notion of making Kiddush again is because it's true. You technically fulfilled an aspect of Kiddush B'makom Seuda, meaning you made Kiddush in Shul and you had Mazonos, but that wasn't your Seuda, it wasn't your Shabbos meal. Every time you have an actual meal, meaning like the real meal, not like the fake halachic, quote-unquote, fake halachic meal that we just made up, but a real meal, which means what's a meal? Well, when you sit down to the table, you have bread, you have your food, whatever. When you have your real meal, you should also be making Kiddush again. And therefore, that's why I see people, many people that have the custom who did go to shul and make Kiddush and had mazonos, when they get home, they also make Kiddush again, because when you're making Kiddush on your seuda, you should actually proper, when you're sitting down for a seuda, you should make Kiddush again. Okay, so far we've explained why we call it Kiddusha Rabbah, and where this whole notion of Kiddush B'makom Seuda comes from. That was like a crash course and a topic that probably could spend hours talking about. Finally, and just briefly, the relationship of the meal to Avraham Avinu. How is the Shabbos lunch meal, and why is it associated with Avraham Avinu? So I think that there probably are some very mystical and very deep connections that you can make, but I'd argue that there's actually a very practical connection, and that is that if you look at all the Shabbos meals, both Friday night, Shabbos day lunch, and Shabbos evening, or Shalshutis, what's the easiest meal to host people at? It's not Friday night. Friday night's like hard to host people. Shalshutis, usually people aren't hosting. Shabbos lunch is actually the easiest by far and large to host people. And what better meal to associate with Avraham Avinu than the meal that's easiest and most you're most able to host other people? Because Avraham Avinu, we know, is the paradigm of chesed, the paradigm of chnasas orchim, a welcoming guest sin. So of course you should therefore consider the meal that's so easy, or it's easiest to have guests at, to associate that with Avraham Avinu. That's my major chiddush. I think it's just obvious to say that, but I think there's actually something very beautiful there, because that really means that the Shabbos lunch meal is not as inward facing as the other meals. If Friday night is about sanctifying the meal and about being with your family and about understanding the greatness of being able to have a meal and that God has commanded you to eat this food, well, the Shabbos day lunch is not really about that as much. It's more about connecting with others in the same way that Avraham Avinu brought guests in, so too you should be prioritizing bringing guests in. I want to conclude with one idea mentioned by Rabbi Eliezer Melamed in his Sefer Panini Halacha, which I will frequently use to look up some of the source material for many of these shiurim. And he mentions a gemara that's really worthwhile talking about, because thus far, if you were to walk away from this shiur, you'd assume that there's this amazing meal. It's called the Friday night meal. Then there's like this like shvacha meal, this like second class meal that we call Shabbos lunch, that we just, you know, enjoy eating, and we should probably have some guests at. But says Rabbi Melamed, quoting the Gemara himself, on Kuf, hey, Ahmed Bey's, the daytime meal is more important than the Friday night meal. So the best foods should actually be saved ideally for the second meal. He writes, so what about the notion of Kiddush? We just spent 22 minutes explaining why the evening Kiddush is better. He says, regarding Kiddush, however, Friday night is the more important Kiddush, because we're meant to sanctify the day as close as possible to sunset. So that means in the previous day at night. But in regard to honoring Shabbos, the daytime takes precedence over the nighttime. So what he says over here, this is not his idea, it comes from the Gemara and Pesachim, but it is sort of a total shift in perspective, because now we've just gone from realizing that even though Kiddush by night is better than Kiddush by day, the daytime meal itself has more significance halachically and probably also mystically and hashkafically as well. So with that, how do we conclude? What should our takeaway be? Why is the daytime meal so important? So I would offer two suggestions. One, I think the daytime meal is really important because it's the only real opportunity to like really settle in and focus on the meal itself. We spent a little bit of time last week speaking about why the meal itself, just eating the food, is so important, because it's an opportunity opportunity to say that I'm not eating food because I need to be nourished. It's saying that I'm eating food to honor the Shabbos because God commanded me. We could only really enjoy the beauty of the Shabbos day meal is specifically focused on enjoying the Oneg Shabbos, whereas the Friday night meal and the Shel Shudas meal, we sometimes could get distracted with other aspects of it. That's one reason why I say the daytime meal is so important. The other reason why I would argue that maybe the daytime meal is so important is because what we said a moment ago, the Friday night meal is more for ourselves. Shal Shudas, people are usually neither here nor there, but Shabbos day lunch is the opportunity where we're not looking inwards, but it's when we're looking outwards. It's we're looking about how we can influence and affect and impact other people and not just only be thinking about ourselves. And as a result, that's what makes it so important, because it's where you take the holiness that you built, but I guess on Friday night, and you implement that on Shabbos day for the meal itself. And so the takeaway of this is a little bit sad, because we've tried to take away a little message from all these short shirim. And usually we try to say how we can focus on it for this coming Shabbos. Most of us are not able to focus on this coming Shabbos, because most of us, I hope, are not in the parsha of hosting guests right now, because it's not so possible with COVID. However, I'll leave you with the following thought, and that is that we know that when Hashem sees our desire so desperately to do His mitzvos, to do His will, then He inevitably always, quote unquote, always has to overturn any negative edicts that make that difficult. That's why we always talk about how we yearn to live and to dwell in the Beis HaMikdash, because of the fact that we're trying to say, God, we need this so badly, you can't keep it from us anymore. And so perhaps we can end with a bracha that, God willing, we should all learn to truly internalize this message that we want to yearn to have Shabbos guests for Shabbos day lunch. And the only way we could do that, of course, is when COVID is behind us and COVID is totally over. So God willing, Hashem will imminently bring the end of this pandemic to the world, so that we can all truly be able to fulfill the notion of what Shabbos day meal is all about, which is having guests connecting to this idea that the Shabbos day meal is all about Avraham Avinu. We should all begin doing this Shabbos by saying that we just want guests so badly, that we should just dream and yearn and tell God so deeply how much we want to be able to host guests for Shabbos. Everyone should have a great night and a Shabbat Shalom.